Morning, everyone. That's today's Daf in Megillah's Daf Yud Beis. Thank the Lubin Foundation for sponsorship of the Daf. Daf of the Lubin was there for Nishmas Lois Lubin Zoltzman. Back on Yud Aleph, and we started darshaning the Megillah. We're going to spend a week in the Daf Yomi from yesterday's Daf, from approximately Daf Yud Aleph. So really started on Daf Yud Aleph and Beis, and finishing up to the end of the first parak of the Masechta. We're going to be darshaning a number of psukim in the Megillah. It's going to be, for the most part, at least in the first number, a couple of prokim in the Megillah, it'll be nearly every pasuk. And then after that, it'll drift off a little bit, but almost every pasuk. We started yesterday by dashing the first pasuk, and we got through, I think, the first three words of the Megillah. I think that's the totality of what we covered. Anyway, as I mentioned yesterday, but just to reiterate, a good prerequisite to going through these Gemaras is to know the Megillah. I'm not saying I do, but so I've been learning it for now a number of years, so I know it a little bit. But that's just it. Just a little. Okay. in the Gemara, we went through the word Vayihi. The Gemara explained that the word Vayihi, contraction of two words, basically anguish and despair. And then the Gemara goes on, and we'll pick it up from Achashverosh. I know we did this yesterday, but just to take a quick step backwards, a short step backwards, so we can move forward. We are right in the middle of Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. We're at the notation of the Beis for the Gra, the first one in the line is Lachem, and now we are starting with Achashverosh. Achashverosh Amarav Achiv Shel Rosh Ben Gilo Shel Rosh. So he was basically a brother, not a biological brother, but a philosophical brother too, Achiv Shel Rosh, Achiv Shel Nebuchadnezzar Rosh. So he wanted to compare himself actually to Nebuchadnezzar. Shenikra Rosh, Shenemar Antu Reisha Didahava. Gemara quotes the pasuk in Daniel describing Nebuchadnezzar as a Rosh, and that's what Achashverosh wanted to be. He wanted to be the next Nebuchadnezzar. Ben Gilo Shel Rosh Hu'arag Hu'Bikesh La'arog. And then the Gemara explains in what ways did he want to be like Nebuchadnezzar. So Nebuchadnezzar killed, so he also wanted to kill. Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the Beit HaMikdash. Achashverosh wanted to do the same thing. The Shenemar v'machus Achashverosh b'tchilas machus kasfu sitna al yoshvei Yehuda v'Yerushalayim. A letter of accusation was sent out about the Jews in Israel. Koresh, the previous Persian emperor prior to Achashverosh, allowed the Jews to build the Beit HaMikdash. And then a letter started, almost like a petition, if you will, started circulating, and the building of the Beit HaMikdash stopped. And this was done by Achashverosh. Ushmul amar shehushchu penem sheyisrael biyamav kishulei kedera. The faces of the Jews at the time were blackened like the bottom of a pot. And that's Achashverosh from the word shachur. Rav Yochanan amar kol shezocher omer ach. Anyone who remembers him, the response is ach. So that explains the Achashverosh, the first two letters of his name. Ach Lerosha. Rabbi Chanina Amar Shakol Naseh Rashi B'Yamav. Everyone becomes poor during Achashverosh. It's time Shenemar V'Yasem HaMelech Achashverosh Mas Al Iyei Hayam. He levies a tax, and so everyone becomes poor, and Achashverosh comes from the word Rash, which means poor, and he impoverished the people. Okay, good. That's exactly the point we got to yesterday. The Gemara now is going to continue Hu Achashverosh. Okay? We are still in the first Pasuk. But we're now up to the fourth and fifth word of the first pasuk. Hu Achashverosh. Hu b'risho mitchilaso ve'ad sofo. The word hu means he's in a constant state. So in other words, Achashverosh never changed. He was wicked from beginning to end. So hu Esav, hu b'risho mitchilaso ve'ad sofo. And the Gemara is going to do this now for a number of personalities in Tanakh. So Esav, again, the word hu Esav. From beginning to end, he was a rasha. Hu dasan ve'aviram, hu hen b'risho mitchilaso ve'ad sofo. Same thing with dasan ve'aviram. Hu HaMelech Achaz, who b'risho mitchilaso ve'ad sofo, Achaz, the father of Chizkiyahu, also proliferated Avodah Zarah during his reign, during Bais Rishon, also again consistently bad. Avram Hu Avraham. Okay, beginning of Divrei Hayamim, description of Avraham, and again you have the word Hu. So Hu b'tzitzal mitchilaso ve'ad sofo. So he was a tzaddik from beginning to end. Now, it's interesting, because he wasn't born a tzaddik, meaning, you're right, nobody was. There was no monotheism he introduced into the world, but from the point of his monotheistic awakening, if you will, until the very end. He was a tzaddik. Who Aaron and Moshe heim b'tzidkan mitchilasam ve'atzofan. And again, we have the same who by Aaron and Moshe. V'David hu akatan hu b'katnusam mitchilasam ve'atzofan. David was a katan. He was always a katan. Meaning, we're talking about the king of Israel. But katan over here in the sense of he was humble. And he was humble throughout his entire life. Kishem shebekatnuso hiktin atzmo etzol misha gadol mimenu b'torah. Kach b'machuso hiktin atzmo etzol misha gadol mimenu b'chachma. He always yielded to somebody who was smarter than him. That's true both in Torah in terms of his monarchy as well. Right? He always listened and he always capitulated to those who were greater than him. Hamolech. We're back to the Megillah. And now we're still in the first pasuk, but we're up to the sixth word of the first pasuk. Hamolech. Amarav Shemalach Me'atzma. He coronated himself. The sense that you get from our Gemara over here is that he was not a Melech ben Melech. He doesn't descend. There are many midrashim that speak to this idea that Achashverosh was not a descendant of a king. Our Gemara over here speaks about it just very briefly, and not even explicitly, that he coronated himself. Now some say it as a praise, and some say it as a disparaging remark. Now, on one hand, it could be that he was the best candidate. Nobody was as qualified as him. Another possible way to look at it, right, basically, we're looking at the same thing and just from different perspectives. The other way to look at it is, truth of the matter is that he wasn't deserving and he wasn't really qualified to be king. But he had to be had money, and he just simply bribed his way to the top. So the Gemara now is still in the first pasuk. We're up to the next words of this pasuk. Mehodu v'ad Kush. The reign of Achashverosh extended from Hodu to Kush. Now, where's Hodu? Where's Kush? So in modern terminology, so we assume normally that Hodu is India and Kush is Ethiopia, and so basically we're going from the known civilized world at the time, from all the way from the far east to at that time what was the far west. Okay, that's a simple pshat in the Megillah. The Gemara over here points out that that's a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel in terms of how to understand this pasuk. So when we say mehodu v'ad Kush, so Rav and Shmuel chadamar hodu b'sof ha'olam b'kush b'sof ha'olam. So according to one explanation, hodu and Kush are actually at two ends of the earth. V'chadamar hodu v'kush gabe hadadi havu. And then the other position is no, they're actually right next to each other. So I'm sorry, have a kaimet. Kishem shebalcha hodu v'kush kach malch b'sof ha'olam ad sofo. So and just like hodu v'kush, if they are next to one another, if that's the position you're going to take, so it's easy to rule over two cities that are one right next to another. In other words, you don't have the issue of travel. So just like Achashverosh ruled over these two cities, so he just as easily ruled over the entire world as well. And the Gemara gives another example, another illustration of somebody who ruled the entire world, and that's Shlomo HaMelech, from Tifsach until Azam. Rabbi Shmuel Chadamar Tifsach b'sof ha'olam v'Azam b'sof ha'olam. And again, the same achlok is generated. Where are these? It sounds from the simple pshat in the Gemara is that we're having a geographical machlokas, which again is very difficult to understand. I mean, we may not know the geography, but at the time, Rav and Shmuel didn't know the geography. It's difficult to understand. Okay, Gemara here obviously needs much more analysis. But anyway, ve'aza b'sof ha'olam v'chadamar tifsach v'aza v'hadeh adad dehava kaim v'kishen shemalcha tifsach v'alaza kach malacha kol ha'olam kulo. Exactly the same point by Shlomo HaMelech. Either these two locations are the two extremities of the world, or these two locations are right next to each other, and just like Shlomo ruled over these two territories, which were right next to each other, so too he had as much command over the rest of the world as well. Sheva v'yesrim miyah medina. Still in that first pasuk in the Megillah. 127 provinces altogether. Amar Rav Chisda b'tchila malach ha'sheva l'sof malach ha'esrim u'l'sof malach al me'ah. So the Gemara, one way to understand this pasuk is that stages. Meaning, just like we learned a moment ago, that Achashverosh was not a Melech ben Melech, he wasn't coronated, you know, he assumed to the position. So basically, in stages, for 7, then 20, then 100 in total. Elamiyat of Shnei Chayei, Amram Shevu Shloshim Umiyah Shana, Mai Darashtabe. So the Gemara says, look, just because the Pesukim are giving us the numbers from smaller unit to larger unit, so what? We have the same thing by Amram. and he lived 7 plus 30 plus 100. Now, what is that supposed to mean? It means 137. So, Shani Hacha Dekra Yisrehu. So the Gemara says, no, over here, we are more entitled to make a drasha. Why? Because the Torah already, the Navi, already identified that he ruled from Hodu to Kush. So then giving us 127 provinces, who cares? Meaning, that seems to be superfluous. So the Gemara says that's why it's more open to a possible drasha. Tana Rabbanan Shlosh Amacho Bikipa. The Gemara now is going to identify three personalities in history who had total world domination. Ve'elohein Achav, Achashverosh, Nebuchadnezzar. So the three people we're identifying are the kings of Achav, Achashverosh, and Nebuchadnezzar. Achav, of course, being a king of Israel, of Malchi Yisrael, Achashverosh, Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, interesting, the Gemara does not give us these people in chronological order, in historical order. Okay, just a note. Ach dechsev, right? Just as I'm thinking out loud, so I'm looking at the side of the Gemara and I see that he takes Nebuchadnezzar and Achashverosh, and in another gear, and he flips them. Oh, okay, good. All right, that's that handles my curiosity. Okay, going on. Ach dechsev, chai shem lokecha im yesh goy umamlecha shelo shalach adonai sham levakeshcha ve'ilo dehava malach alai hechemati. Okay, so there was a shvuah that was made by Eliyahu to the king Achav, and that is, you rule over the entire world. Okay, so Achav had total world domination. Nebuchadnezzar. Moving ahead. Dechsiv haya goy v'amlacha shelo yitein etzavro be'ol hamelech bavel. So everyone was under the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar. He ruled over the entire world. And finally, Achashverosh, Hudamaran. So we said, in other words, that's the beginning of the Megillah. Okay, so therefore we have now identified three people who had world domination. So the Gemara says, really, three, that's it? The Gemara says, Siman Shazdach. We're now on the top of Yad Aleph and Mebeis, and the Gemara now is going to identify, there should be four other candidates who have world domination, and why weren't they mentioned in our list? Vesulek Vayikar Shlomo. So the Gemara says, "Lo salik malchusay." So the Gemara says, "Yeah, Shlomo would be another excellent candidate. The reason why he wasn't included in the list is because he did not end well." Now the Gemara in Sanhedrin, and it's also in Gittin as well. The Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that we are not totally sure how Shlomo's rule ended. The one version has it that he was a melech and then he becomes a commoner. He just basically demoted. And another version is that he was a melech, then becomes a hedgeot, and then he becomes a melech again. So, the Gemara points out, the reason why he's excluded from our list works out well if you maintain the position that he goes from king to commoner. But if he goes king, commoner, king, so now started off as world dominating, ends off as world dominating, should be in the list. Shlomo milsa achriza havabei shamach al yonim v'al tachtonim. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why Shlomo's not on the list, because he's in a totally different category. Not only did he have world domination, but he had other world domination. Shlomo ruled over the Elyonim and the Tachtonim. So he had domination in this world and also in the upper spheres as well. Shenema v'yashiv Shlomo kisei Hashem. Okay, so basically, Shlomo's in the class by himself. That's why he's not included in this list, but basically, yeah, he did have world domination, just doesn't fit in the list. V'hava Sancheirev. So the Gemara now wonders, what about Sancheirev? Sancheirev Melech Ashur, the king of Assyria, who destroyed the northern kingdom. And about 100 plus years prior to the destruction of the first temple. So he comes in, destroys the northern kingdom, tries to destroy Yehuda, which the Gemara is going to note in just a moment is the reason why he didn't make it in the list, because he never got Yehuda, but tries to destroy Yehuda, but is unsuccessful. But anyway, but didn't he have world domination? Dichsiv, mi bechol Elohei Arutzos Ha'ela, asher Yitzilos Arutzam Miyadi. So the Gemara says, Ha'ika Yushalayim Delo Kavsha. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you're right. He basically had world domination, except Yerushalayim. He never got Yerushalayim. Okay, remember the king at the time, while he invaded Yerushalayim was? Sancheirev. That was his name. The king at the time was Chizkiyahu. And Chizkiyahu davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a great miracle happened. The Assyrian soldiers died by plague. Okay.
V'ha'ika dayavesh tichsiv dayavesh makak sav l'chol amamei umei v'lishnei di dayaran. B'chol ara shamechen yazgei. Again, proof positive that I don't know Aramaic. Right, Pasuk in Daniel. But basically the Pasuk says that Daryavish also had world domination. And why isn't Daryavish in our list of those who had total world domination? So Sheva Delamar Chalayu. So the Gemara says, no, he didn't make the list because he had almost world domination, but seven territories short of world domination. Now we know that the total world at the time was 127 provinces, and we're going to see a Pasuk in Daniel that he was only over 120. Dichsiv, Shvar Kadam Daryavish Vehikim Am Chusela Achshtar Panaya, Mea Ve'esrim. He only had 120 provinces, not 127. He was seven short, so he did not win this game of risk that the Gemara over here is describing. Vehaika Koresh, Dichsiv Karmar Koresh Melch Paras, Kamam Luchot Zaharetz, Nasan Li. So the Gemara says that Koresh also, seemingly, at least based on the Pasuk and Ezra, seems to have had world domination. So the Gemara says, the Gemara says that's self-promotion. He's saying that he had world domination. Good, that's his version of history. But the Gemara says, but that's just self-promotion. That is not the actual fact. He was not dominant over the entire world. Okay. And what have we accomplished so far today? Well, so far we've gone through a lot of Gemara, but we've covered now the first pasuk of the Megillah. Okay, Adkan. That takes us now for the first pasuk, the Megillah, and we're up to now pasuk Beis, right? By Yamei Ma'im Kishavat Amach Achashrosh Al Kisei Machusah Sher B'Shana Bira. And the Gemara now goes and starts darshaning the second pasuk of the first parak. By Yamei Ma'im Kishavat Amach Kisei Basrei B'Shana Shosh Lamalkal. He settled into his throne in the third year. So the question, let's just spell out the question. Although the Gemara doesn't really articulate, but we can pretty much figure out what's bothering the Gemara right now. Takes 3 years for him to settle to his position. Okay, usually when you're coronated, that's it. You're king. And why does it take him 3 years to settle to his position? So before we get to the Gemara's answer, which is going to be an unbelievable insight, but before we get to the Gemara's answer, we could give a very simple answer, and that is, as we just learned previously, it took him a while to build up his kingdom. Meaning he wasn't just simply the king, son of a king. He was Molech himself. He worked his way up to the top, and basically even at the top, it took him a while to really settle in. That's one possibility, which the Gemara over here doesn't really spell out, but the Gemara over here provides an unbelievable insight. This insight of the Gemara right now is going to take us all the way to the top of Yud Beis Amud Aleph. Amar Rava Ma'kishavas L'Achash Nisyashva Da'ato. So he says he had an appeasement of his mind, meaning it wasn't until the third year of his rule that he felt comfortable. And why was he in discomfort for the first 3 years of his rule, or first 2 years of his rule? Amar Belshetzer Chashavatar, Ana Chashivna Velotaina. So he says, I'll tell you what was bothering him, agitating him for those first 2 years of his rule, first 3 years, and finally he settled in. And that is Belshazzar made a mistake in calculation, and I will not repeat that same mistake. My he. So the Gemara says, what mistake are we talking about? Dichsiv kilofim laos labavel shivim shana efkodeschem. So the Gemara says it's based on the nevuah. We're going to see this nevuah twice in Tanakh. We're going to see it in Yirmiyahu, and we're going to see it again in Sefer Daniel. Now the Gemara over here quotes the two psukim back to back. All right, a number of commentaries point out that the Gemara's second citation of Daniel really should come at a later stage in the Gemara, not now. We'll read both now, and we'll point out the discrepancy now, and later on we're going to resolve the discrepancy. Let's read the second pasuk. Uksiv l'malos l'charvos Yerushalayim shivim shana. Okay, so here's what we know. We know that the Nevuah tells us that even as the Beis Hamikdash is being destroyed, and even as the Jewish people are going to be sent into exile, the Nevi'im are telling the Jewish people, and for that matter the world as well, that that this exile is going to be a short exile. It's only going to be 70 years. Now, at the time, everyone understood a Navi. Everyone respected a Navi. A Navi said it. You know it is to be true. Or not know, but with a certain amount of certainty, you expect it to happen. So all of these kings who are ruling over the world at the time are now realizing that they are all on the clock. There's 70 years. 70 years are going to end, and the Jews are going to go back to Yerushalayim. And really, there's, if you will, there's nothing they can do about it because that's what the Navi says. Now, if you look at these two psukim back to back, and it happens to be the Gemara places them back to back for us, if you look at them back to back, you'll note that there's a minor discrepancy between these two psukim. Let's look at these two psukim again. Kilafima los lebavel shivim shana ef kodeschem. 70 years of where does the count start? The count starts in the first pasuk of Melos Bavel, when Bavel comes to an end, which means from the beginning of the Babylonian Empire to the end. From the first pasuk, it certainly sounds like that we're counting 70 years from the beginning of the Babylonian Empire. That's what Belshazzar thought, which is you can't even fault him. That's what the Navi says. If you look carefully at the second pasuk says Melos Charvos Yerushalayim Shivim Shana. The second pasuk says that it will be 70 years after the destruction of the temple. The temple was not destroyed in the first year of the Babylonian rule. In fact, temple was destroyed only 18 years into the Babylonian rule, meaning Nebuchadnezzar did not actually destroy the temple until the 18th year of his rule. So now, right now we understand that there's a 18-year discrepancy between what is the first pasuk and what is the second pasuk. So now the Gemara is going to point out that was a mistake made by Belshazzar. Belshazzar thought that the 70 years are to be counted from the beginning of the Babylonian rule, and that's why in the third year of Belshazzar's rule, so he's going to think that the Nevuah has come and gone. So now let's get comfortable with these numbers. They're the only couple of numbers that we're going to need to know in order to get these arrive at these calculations. Chashuv Abba Mechesh and Nebuchadnezzar. So in terms of Babylonian emperors, there's only three you need to know, because there are only three. There is first Nebuchadnezzar, second Evil Merodech, and third is Belshazzar. Those are the three Babylonian rulers, and then the Persian rulers will come to in just a moment. So, 45 years of Nebuchadnezzar, Esam Mitlas Evil Merodech, 23 years of his son Evil Merodech, and Tarti Didei, and then 2 years of Belshazzar. So 45 plus 23 plus 2, so now we're at 70 years. Okay, Hashivim. So now, when Belshazzar sees that 70 years comes and goes, and now Belshazzar believes that the Navi Yirmiyahu was wrong, and now the Jews are not going to go back, so now he celebrates. So what better way to celebrate than to take out the Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash and to celebrate using the Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, signifying that this is the end of the Nevuah.
Why are they so focused on when the Jews would go back to Beis?
I guess it symbolizes.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I understand that, but that question still bothers people today. Why that little tiny country? But I guess it symbolizes the end of the rule, right? In other words, in the motive of self-interest, probably that means that once you lose Yerushalayim, so perhaps I'm guessing, but Nebuchadnezzar minan darben chamesh shanim. I'm sorry. So that's it. So that's how we get to Belshazzar. By the way, Sefer Daniel, everyone know what happens at the evening where Belshazzar takes out the Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash and celebrates, right? Sefer Daniel, everyone remember what happened? A hand comes out of nowhere, writes a message on the wall, right? Looking around for people to decode the message. No one could decode the message. They call in, he used to be a young man, but he's no longer a young man. They call him Daniel, and they ask him to interpret, and it was at that night where the Persian Mede Empire comes in and destroys the Babylonians. And that is the transfer of power from Babylonia to Persia. In the meantime, however, the Gemara over here just wants to know, how did we get to these numbers of 45, 23, and 2? So, I'm sorry, V'nevuchadnezzar minalan d'arben v'chamishnan malach. How do I know that Nebuchadnezzar rules for 45 years? So basically, the Gemara is going to give us a number of markers to teach us that we know that Nebuchadnezzar ruled for a total 45 years. Amar Mar, Galo B'Sheva, Galo B'Shmona, Galo B'Shmona Asrei, Galo B'Tsha Asrei. Okay, our numbers for today are going to be 7, 8, 18, 19. Okay, really, I'll tell you the truth, it's a little bit simpler than four numbers. There really is two numbers that we need to know. Look, as Rashi points out, everything I'm saying, it's basically paraphrasing Rashi. Nebuchadnezzar basically dominated the world, took over from whom? The Assyrians, Ashur. The previous dominating country of the world at the time was Ashur. They were the ones who destroyed the northern kingdom, And then Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians dominated the world. Their central point was the city of Nineveh. That was the capital of... Nineveh was the capital of Ashur, the Assyrians, and then Nebuchadnezzar dominates. He's from Babel. After 1 year of his rule, then he goes in and he doesn't destroy Yerushalayim, but takes over Yerushalayim. The king at the time of Yerushalayim was a king by the name of Jehoiakim. So therefore, there's only a 1 year discrepancy between Nebuchadnezzar taking over and Nebuchadnezzar taking over Yerushalayim and exiling Jehoiakim. So these numbers that we've just given in the Gemara, 7 and 8, meaning 8 is from the beginning of the Babylonian rule, 7 is from when Nebuchadnezzar exiles Jehoiakim. Okay? And the same thing is true for 18 and 19. 18 years from Galus Jehoiakim, 19 years from the beginning of his rule. Okay, everyone understand? So Galus B'Sheva L'Kivus Jehoiakim, the Gemara spells it out. Galus B'Sheva L'Kivus Jehoiakim, Galus Jehoiakim, L'Kivus Jehoiakim, Galus Jehoiakim, Shishmona L'Nebuchadnezzar. So now, it is 8 years, sorry, let me do that better, 7 years between the defeat of Jehoiakim and the exile of Jehoiachin. Jehoiachin, otherwise known also as Yechaniah, same person, was sent into exile 7 years after his father Jehoiakim was conquered by Nebuchadnezzar. Take a look at Rashi. I'm not going to go through Rashi right now. The long Rashi on the right-hand column, where Rashi goes through those numbers. How do we get to those 7 years? Rashi over there quotes the Pesukim. So Galabish, okay. So what do we have now? And just in terms of a timeline, Nebuchadnezzar assumes control of the world. A year later, defeats Yehuda. Yehuda meaning Israel at the time. Defeats Jehoiakim, kills Jehoiakim, and appoints his son Jehoiachin in charge. Jehoiachin rebels, and he's sent into exile 7 years later. Okay, so making it a total of 8 years from the beginning of the Babylonian rule, of Nebuchadnezzar's rule. So, Galus B'Shmona Esrei L'Kivus Jehoiakim, Galus Tzidkiyahu, Shicha Esrei L'Nebuchadnezzar. Now, 18 years after Jehoiakim, or 19 years after Nebuchadnezzar takes over the world, so then Tzidkiyahu is sent into exile. The Amar Marsh, Anu Rishon L'Kivus Nineveh. In year one, now the Gemara is going to give us a timeline from the beginning. Right? It was like the Gemara was just giving us the timeline going from the points of Jehoiachin and Tzidkiyahu. Now we're going to go back from the beginning. So in the year one, he conquered Nineveh, Shnei Kivush Jehoiakim. In year two, he conquered Jehoiakim, king of Israel, king of Yehuda. Uksiba Yibi 37 Shana, Legalos Jehoiachin, Melch Yehuda, Bishne Masachosh, Besimichamish Lechodesh, Nasa Evo Merech Melch Bavel. And we know that 37 years after Jehoiachin's exile, so then Evel Merodach takes over. So now what numbers do we have right now? 18 years from the beginning of... 19 years from the beginning of... No, I was right the first time. 19 years from the beginning of Nebuchadnezzar's rule until the exile of Jehoiachin, and then another 37 years after that. So So we have now another 37 years. So Tamne v'Talsin v'Sheva. So that is 28 plus another 7. Hare Arbaim v'Chamesh. 38 plus another 7. So Hare Arbaim v'Chamesh. The Nebuchadnezzar. So that gets us to a total of 45 years in Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, so basically just marking it along, the fact that we know that the number of years from Nebuchadnezzar until Tzidkiyahu, from Tzidkiyahu until the end of Nebuchadnezzar's rule, so we get to a total of 45 years. V'esim tolas Evel Merech Gemara. Now, how do we know that Evel Merech ruled for 23 years? The Gemara says, I have no psukim, I don't have any markers over there, that's just simply tradition. The Evel Merech ruled for 23 years. V'tarti didei ha-shiv'in. And then 2 years of Belshazzar, and that's it. So that's now 70 in the book. Amar. And now the Gemara says that as Belshazzar now approaches and passes 70 years from the beginning of the Babylonian rule, Amar Hashavada Sulam Mifrake. Afik Manad Bay Mikdash Vishamish Bahu. So he takes out the camel of the base of Mikdash and uses the camel of the base of Mikdash. Hanid Kamali Daniel. And now Daniel turns to Belshazzar and he says, Va'amar Shmayis Ramamta Ula Ma'ane De Besa Hitayu Kadamech. You elevated yourself over Kadosh Baruch Hu. You use the kelim of the Beis Hamikdash. Uksiv bei balayla ketob b'shatzar malka kazdai. That night, Belshazzar the kazdai was killed. Uksiv v'dayavish madai kibam achusor kvar shnim shtin v'tartin. So and then who takes over? Dayavish. Now, not to get confused, there are two dayavishes in our history. There's dayavish. The Gemara over here quotes the pasuk in Daniel's dayavish madaa, which means dayavish the mead. So the original Daryavish who takes over and who conquers and takes over Belshazzar is Daryavish the Mede, as we'll see in just a moment. Then immediately followed by Koresh, and the two together, Darius the Mede and Koresh, rule for a total of 5 years, and later the Gemara is going to modify that to only a total of 4 years. So it's not a long rule of Darius and Koresh. Amar. So now, he said. Now the he over here is in reference to Achashverosh. So now we have an entire backdrop to now the thinking of Achashverosh. Achashverosh realizes that everyone's looking at the Nebuah of 70 and everyone's looking at it wrong. So Belshazzar looked at it wrong. He thought that the 70 years goes back to the beginning of the Babylonian rule, and that's not right. Meaning that's a miscalculation. Amar iu mitata ana chashivna velo taina. I will calculate and I will not make a mistake. This is Achashverosh's thinking. Miksiv la Malchus Bavel le Bavel ksiv. It doesn't say Malchus Bavel, right? We're going back to the pasuk in Yirmiyahu. It says le Bavel. My le Bavel le Galus Bavel. It means the exile of Bavel, meaning right. Belshazzar took the wrong perspective. He was looking at it from the history of Bavel. That's not it. It's not the history of Babel. It's the history of Jews when they left and entered into Babel. Kama b'tzion tamne. So now that's a deduction of 8 years. Chashav ayol chalufayu chada de Belshazzar. So now what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to insert 8 years. So the Gemara does the math for us. So now we're going to do one more year of Belshazzar because Belshazzar ruled for a total of 3 years. Okay. V'chamesh de Daryavesh v'karesh. Daryavish and Koresh together ruled for 5 years. So now we're up to six. Vitarti di day, 2 years now of Achashverosh, because he's the next king in line. As I mentioned yesterday, in our version of history, and according to Seder Olam, according to our Gemara, there only are a total of four Persian rulers. That is Darius the Mede, Koresh, Achashverosh, and back to Daryavish, the son. Okay, and we quoted Midrashim that the son may be a son of Achashverosh and Esther. But anyway, so now, again, let's just quickly do this again. 1 year of Belshazzar, meaning we're looking to add another 8 years. Because the beginning of the 70 years of the Navi, it doesn't start from the beginning of Bavel, but the beginning of the exile of Jews to Bavel. The Jews were only exiled to Bavel 8 years into Nebuchadnezzar's rule. So now, 8 years after Belshazzar, so one more year of Belshazzar, 5 years of Daryavish and Koresh, and now we need another 3 years. And hence we now finally have pshat in the pasuk when the pasuk says that it was only in the third year of his rule that he felt comfortable. Hashivin, Hashivin, Kevin Dechazin, Demalashivin, Lo Ifrok, Amar Hashavad Isu Lo Mifrake. The Jews are no longer going to be redeemed because now in his third year, he believes the 70 years have come and gone. So Apik Manad de Bei Mikdash. So now he takes out the camel of the Beis Hamikdash. So he's now ready to repeat the same exact mistake that was made by Belshazzar. Vishamish Bahu. And he uses them, the kelim of the Beis Hamikdash. And there is an allusion, I'm sure everybody knows, there is an allusion to this idea that he took out the kelim of the Beis Hamikdash in the Megillah itself. The kelim and kelim shonim. We'll do that later this morning. Basatan v'riked b'neihem. So out comes the Sutton, and the Sutton dances in front of them. Va'arag is Vashti. And Vashti dies as a result of that. It is interesting that when Belshazzar does this maneuver of taking out the Kalim of the base of Mikdash, so who's subject to death? Belshazzar himself. When Achashverosh takes out the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, who's subject to death? So that's Vashti. So it is interesting. Why Vashti? Why not Achashverosh himself? Okay, that's a more than reasonable question. V'ha Shapir Chashiv. Now the Gemara says, now I don't understand, because it sounds like Achashverosh did good in terms of the calculation. So the Gemara says, nope, he didn't do good. Because wrong starting point for the 70. 70 doesn't start from the Gullah stars. 70 starts from the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, which we learned previously was 18 years into the rule of Achashverosh. Not, right, so basically we're going to have to tack on another 10 more years. So, sof kama b'tziren, chatzrei, sorry, 11 more years. Right, it's 18 after 7. So 11 more years. So iu kama malach arbeisar. So the Gemara points out now, okay, fine. Achashverosh was wrong because he counted wrong. And by the way, now you could look back up earlier on the daf and you could see we quoted two psukim that speak about the nevuah of 70 years. One was from Yirmiyahu and the other one was from Daniel. Now you realize that so far Belshazzar and Achashverosh were focusing on the Navi Yirmiyahu. Ki lefi malos li bavel. Meaning it seems like the whole focus was on Bavel. So again, Belshazzar thought it was from the beginning of the rule of Bavel. Achashverosh thought it was from the exile of Bavel, when the Jews were exiled to Bavel. But now, look at the next pasuk. The next pasuk is, L'malos l'charvos Yerushalayim, when I fill up the years from the destruction of Yerushalayim. So the Navi in Daniel actually points to destruction of the temple. Later, the Gemara is going to ask the obvious question, which is, the two psukim don't agree with each other. So, I mean, we're faulting all these emperors for counting it wrong, but truth of the matter is that the psukim are not giving us a single report. We'll come back to that question later on. So, iu kama malcha beis tzar. So the Gemara points out now, let's go back to Achashverosh. Achashverosh ruled for a total of 14 years. So, bar beis tzar, and again, take a look at Rashi. I'm not going to go through it right now, but take a look at Rashi, how we know that he ruled for a total of 14 years. Now, bar beis tzar didei I ba'ilei limim ne beis hamikdash. So the Gemara says, okay, even, let's assume Achashverosh was wrong, which he was, and so good, but it's only going to be 11 years later where the year 70 now has come up. Achashverosh ruled for a total of 14 years. So that means, again, the first three were in the first 70, were in his 70 count. But even if we go 11 years later, we're in the last year of Achashverosh's rule. So who should be responsible for building the Beis HaMikdash? Answer, Achashverosh, according to our numbers, according to our calculation. So So the Gemara quotes the Pasuk in Ezra, where the Pasuk in Ezra attributes who to building the second Beis HaMikdash, which Persian king, not Achashverosh, but rather Daryavish. Shanim Mikutaos Havu. So the Gemara says a little bit of accounting. In other words, we're going to do a little bit of fancy accounting. It's not that fancy, but we're going to do a little bit of fancy accounting so that the truth of the matter is that the correct 70 years are not going to end on Achashverosh's 14th year, but are actually going to go into the second year of the next Persian emperor, which is Daryavish. The Gemara points out, Tanya Namihachi. The Gemara says, this is supported by Bryce as well, that we're going to do a little bit of fancy accounting. Okay, first of all, the Gemara points out that transitional year where we went from the Babylonians to the Persians, so that means the last year of Belshazzar, and the first year of Darius the Mede, that wasn't two separate years. In total, between the two of them, that was only 1 year. So therefore, that already takes off 1 year. Rashi points out, and the Gemara is going to point it out in just a moment as well. Darius and Koresh were not 5 years collectively, but were only 4 years collectively. So basically, it's the numbers that we were given don't reflect full years. Some of those numbers actually crunch together, and so that's why the 70 years takes us past Achashverosh into the next Persian king, Daryavish. So the Gemara says, you know, I know we were finding fault now with Belshazzar not counting correctly and Achashverosh not being able to count correctly, but the Gemara says Daniel also did not count correctly. Bishnas Achas Adaryavish, we are in Sefer Daniel. We're in the ninth parak. I have a Tanakh here. We are in the ninth parak of Sefer Daniel. Bishnas Achas Adaryavish, in the first year of Daryavish, Ben Achashverosh, Mizera Madai, Asher Hamlach Amachus Kazdim, Bishnas Achas Amacho, Ani Daniel, Binosi Bisfarim. I, Daniel, I investigated the books. Meaning basically, right, Daniel's an accountant. I investigate the books. Mispar shanim asher hayad dvar Hashem al Yirmiyahu Navi l'malos l'chav Yishlaim shivim shana, and I'm trying to figure out 70 years since the destruction of the temple, and here we are, and I think it's past that point, and I don't understand, and then read on in the perek. He goes on to daven to Kadosh Baruch Hu, what's going on over here, and our Gemara tells us, you know what's going on over here. He just didn't have the years right, meaning he made a mistake. Back to our Gemara on Yud Beis Amud Aleph for four lines from the top. He made a mistake. Okay. Mikoma kom kasha kray ahadade. Now the Gemara is going to go back and ask the question that we mentioned earlier. Okay. So far, our list of people who did not count the years correctly were Belshazzar, Achashverosh, and now we can add Daniel to the list. To which the Gemara now points out that if I look at the two Nevuahs, they actually don't coordinate. Meaning one Nevuah has it from Babel, the other one has it from Chorvus Yerushalayim. Which one is correct? So, Ksiv Malos LeBabel, Ksiv LeChorvus Yerushalayim Amar Rava, LePekida BaAlma. So Rava says there's not a discrepancy. 70 years from Babel is correct. 70 years from the destruction of Yerushalayim is correct. The first 70 years, meaning the one that goes back to Bavel, is lepekida ba'alma. That is a pekida. What does a pekida mean? It means that Kadosh Baruch Hu remembers us. Meaning that there is a point where there's going to be a full ge'ula, which is obviously the point where the Jews go back to Eretz Yisrael and build the second base of Mikdash. Okay, that's a full ge'ula, and that's when the exile comes to a total end. But even the first Navi in Yirmiyahu, the first Nevuah, that says 70 years from Bavel, so that means that at the end of those 70 years, it's not going to be a full Geula, but Pekida. Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to remember us. And how does that manifest itself? The Gemara goes on to explain. Because what happens is that in the beginning of Koresh's reign, remember, Koresh is before Achashverosh. In the beginning of Koresh's reign, he turns to the Jewish people and he says, "Now let's build the base of Mikdash." When did this event occur? 70 years after the Jews were exiled to Babel. That's Pekida. That's where we're remembered. And therefore, as a result of that, is that those 70 years that are mentioned by Yirmiyahu are not nothing. That's the Pekida. And then you go 70 years after the destruction of the temple, which is 11 years later, so then we're going to actually have full permission and actually succeed in building Beis Sheni. Gemara quotes the pasuk from Yeshayahu, Perek Mem Hei, where Kadosh Baruch Hu talks to his Mashiach Koresh. Wow. Well, Koresh is a Mashiach. Koresh is a Persian ruler. So the Gemara says, no. This is a dialogue between a Kadosh Baruch Hu and Mashiach about Koresh. Now, Rashi over here points out, those of you who know Trup, so you will appreciate this. So Rashi here points out that if you look at the Psukim themselves, and you look at the Trup in the Psukim, so you will see that this shot in our Gemara is totally supported by the Trup. Beginning of Perek Mem Hei Yishayah, I mean, it's not often that we, you know, for Haftarah we say the Trup on the Navi, but the Trup actually helps us in terms of how to correctly inflect these Psukim. Kol Hashem Lemishicho. So over the word Hashem you have what's called a Zarka. Over the word Lemishicho, what should happen? Should be a Segol. It's not. It's another Zarka. So So Rashi says, if you look at the trup, Rashi right here, not Gemara, if you look at the trup, so you will see that the trup actually speaks to this idea that there should be a comma after the word Mashiach. Komar Hashem l'Mashiachu, Kadosh Baruch Hu talks to Mashiach, likoresh, actually it's al-koresh, meaning about koresh. Amalei Kadosh Baruch Hu l'Mashiach kobalani l'chal koresh, right, I'm really bothered about koresh. Ani amarti hu yivne beisivu kabetz kol yisivu amar mi bachem mikol ami v'ya'al. I said to Koresh, you're going to be the one building the Beis HaMikdash. And what was Koresh's response? Okay, he basically said to the Jews, okay, guys, whoever wants to go, go ahead. Meaning he took no initiative, he didn't do anything on his own, the extent of his effort in terms of building the Beis HaMikdash was, all right, Jews, go ahead, you have my permission. Right, Rash? I don't know enough. Right, but Rashi writes, "Who atzmo l'nishad davar davar?" He didn't do anything himself to help the Jewish people. Okay. Back to the Megillah. Okay, Chel Paras Umadai. Okay, we are now moving ahead. We have so far covered the first pasuk, and we started with the second pasuk. We are now into the Chel Paras Umadai. So this is, I'm sorry, I just want to be thorough over here. So this is the fourth pasuk. Okay, pasuk dalet. Chel Paras Umadai Partamim Uksiv L'Malchei Madai Faras. Gemara notes that we have a symbiotic monarchy made up of Paras Umadai. Sometimes the Megillah presents it as Paras Umadai, and sometimes it presents it to us as Madai Faras. I pointed out before, right? You could check me up on this. That every time in the Megillah it says Paras Umadai, only one time in the Megillah at the very end does it say Madai Faras. But Amar Rava is Nui Hasnu Bahadade. So the Gemara says that they had a treaty, Madai and Paras, with one another. And the treaty basically went as this. Look, we're going to basically alternate kings. If you are providing the king, we provide the governors. If we provide the king, then you provide the governors. So some form of check and balance between these two empires that ruled concurrently.
Where
was Medad? Amid? Yeah. Isn't it right next to Greece? That's right.
So they were far apart.
Yeah, Cyprus, right. Cyprus, Greece. So, Baharaso is Osh, yes. Baharaso, Osher Kavod Malchuso. Amar Rabbi Yosef Rebbe Chenem Alamed, Shalavash Big Day Kahuna. So he wore the Big Day Kahuna. This is a reference to Achashverosh. And again, going back to the point that the Gemara made earlier, that what this party was all about was a celebration that the Jews were not going to go back to Eretz Yisrael. So he wore the Big Day Kahuna. Ksiv hachi kartzveres gulaso, ksiv hasam lechavor usifares. Okay. Uvimlos hayamim ha'ela. So this is now at the conclusion of the first party. First party was 180 days. That is a half a year for that first party. Rav Shmuel Chanamar Melch Bikecha v'chamar Melch Tipeshaya. We're going to hear a lot of this over the course of this Agarata. We're looking at the same thing and we're having two perspectives. Some say that he was smart, and some say that he was not. In other words, the first party was for the entire world. Everybody, all outsiders were invited to that first party. And as far as the locals are concerned, those who live in Shushan, he could appease them at any point in time. So good. So in other words, so the first party was basically there to appease the entire world. Good. And then afterwards, he made a more private affair. And the Gemara says, no, what he should have done is he should have made a party first for the Bnei Shushan, curried favor with the Bnei Shushan. If in the event there's a revolt, he'll have his loyalists. That's what he should have done. He didn't do it. Okay. So again, two perspectives of whether this was smart or not. Shalom Tamid of Rash B. The students of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai asked the Rebbe a question. A big question. They asked the Rebbe, the Rashbi. And that is, what did the Jews do? Meaning, we all, right, the Gemara is, again, the prerequisite is that we know the story of the Megillah. Why is it that the Jews deserve to die? They didn't, obviously, but only through a miracle. But what is it that they did wrong? So, Amar Lehem Imru Atem. So the Rashbi, being a good Rebbe, he says, okay, let me hear your suggestions. So, Amar Lo Mim Neshe Nenu Mesudas Tosha Rasha. So they thought, okay, it's the party. They enjoyed the party. Im Kein Shebeshushan Yagush Becholam Kulam. So the Rebbe, the Rashbi, didn't like that answer because, okay, maybe we could find fault with those with the locals, with those living in Shushan. But the Jews of the entire world were going to be destroyed. And so what did they do wrong? So Kula Al Yagu. Amalo Amurta. So the students say to Rashbi, okay, so you say a pshat. So Amalam and Meshishach Tzelem. They bowed down to the Tzelem. Now it's interesting, Rashi over here writes, we're not talking about the Tzelem of Haman, which if you think about it makes perfect sense because Haman doesn't occur till later. Rashi writes, we're talking about the Tzelem of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar set up an idol. Amar lo v'chi mishum panim yesh badavar. Sorry, v'chi miso panim yesh badavar. So the Jews bow down to the idol set up by Achashverosh. Sorry, Nebuchadnezzar. That's why we deserve to die. So to which now the student says to the Rashbi, if you're right, so that's idolatry. So why were we saved? Meaning, then the question goes the other way. Not why weren't we deserved to die, but then what allowed us to be saved? Amar lehem, heim lo asu ela lifnim, afa kadosh baruch hu lo asu yemem ela lifnim. So they are ela lapanim. So it was only an external display of respect towards the idolatry. They didn't believe it in their hearts. So mida keneged mida, when a kadosh baruch hu looks to destroy the Jewish people, that was only externally, meaning he only showed them that he was going to destroy them, but in actuality he didn't. So v'hainu d'chsiv ki lo ina milibo. The pasuk in Eicha says it didn't come from the heart, meaning it was not internal, it was only external. Their bowing to the idol was external. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's attempt to destroy them also too was only going to be external, not internal. Okay, we'll pause over here. Tomorrow we pick it up.